And welcome to Small Town, your hometown podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And today what we're going to talk about is what happened after Easter or after the resurrection of Christ. So we know that Mary had seen him at the tomb, didn't recognize him right away. And then when she did, she ran to the disciples to tell them the good news. And that's where we left off last week. So this week we're going to go over the three times that Jesus met up with his disciples. And we'll also kind of see where the whole Doubting Thomas phrase comes from, which is, once again, where one of the disciples didn't see Jesus and needed to see for himself. So let's go in. We're going to use mostly John, the book of John for this. And the reason for that is just because it reads well. I like the book, but if you look through the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they describe the same encounter. Some of them describe only one of the encounters. Some of them will describe two of the encounters, whereas the book of John actually describes all three. So you can find all three within John. So that's why we're going to use John. And we'll put I'll put the list on the podcast description so you can see the verses. So right off the bat, let's start off. So what's happened, like I said, you know, Jesus has risen from the grave like he said he did. He met with Mary, and she's going to tell the disciples. So, you know, Jesus was preaching about the fact that he would arise again on the third day. So they should have been expecting this. However, you know, they didn't. Not necessarily. So it was still a surprise to them. And what's funny about this too is, you know, for someone that you've been on the road for so long and listened to him, when we read these, a lot of times they didn't recognize him. They actually had to either hear his voice or hear a specific phrase. I think a lot of that has to do with their, even though Thomas is the one who was, you know, doubtful, I think there was still a little bit of doubt, a little bit of, you know, are they sure? Are we sure that we actually seen him? Type of mentality. And so that's why it took three times. And we're going to go through the three encounters today. And then next week we'll go over what the ascension of Christ looked like and go through that. So first off, John chapter 20. And it's actually verse 19 through 29 is where we see the encounters the first two encounters. It's kind of these two encounters are kind of merged together in this. So it says, "Now when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were together due for fear of the Jews." Now once again, they were getting persecuted from the Jews because, you know, of what the fear of Christ was happening. And so they were still scared that they were going to get crucified just like Jesus. "Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side." Now it's nice, it's interesting that, you know, John says that he showed them his hands and sides, because as we all know, his hands would have had the holes from where it was crucified to the cross, and then the side from where the spear struck him and flowed out the water and blood. So, you know, he's basically saying, you know, "Here, I'm proving to you that I'm Jesus." "The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.' But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" So this is where we get the story of Doubting Thomas. That's where we get the whole, you know, Doubting Thomas. You know, he was So if your friends come up and just all of a sudden say, "Hey, I saw him, he was right, he's alive," nowadays it's like, okay, what are you drinking, or what did you take, or are you on medication or something? For someone to rise from the dead, even though he said that, he would rise from the dead, it's still a lot to fathom, that somebody could do that. And so, Thomas is just saying that he just needed more proof. And I think there's a lot of us that are like that. We take our faith, we say we take our faith, but a lot of times we still need those little signs, those little moments in which God shows us that, he is alive, that he is our God, and that, we belong to him. And so I think a lot of times we're all at one point or another a doubting Thomas. It's just a matter of, where are we in our faith with it? And so, Thomas hears he's being persecuted, he's being looked out, they're getting on the run per se. So I mean, he's got some legitimate questions, I would think. So 8 days later, this is going to be starting with verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors had been shut, and stood in the midst. So once again, he stood in the midst. He didn't open a door. He didn't come through a window. They didn't see him at all until he just was with them. And he said once again, and he said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Place your finger here and see my hands, and take your hand and put it into my side, and do not continue in disbelief, but be a believer." So what's interesting by this is obviously Jesus wasn't there when he said this to the disciples, to the other disciples. But as we know, Jesus or God is with us always, and so he sees everything. So what Jesus is doing is basically stating, "I heard what you said, and here is the proof," which then Thomas should have, and rightly so he does, basically says, "Oh my, you are the true Christ. I believe." And so and actually this is Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you now believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." And those will actually be us. We haven't seen him. We haven't put our hands into that wound. And so we have to go by faith. Now, Thomas, he needed to see, he needed to believe by sight. And Christ doesn't say, anything bad about that. I mean, he just, because you have seen me, have you now believed? Doesn't necessarily, he's just saying that, he knew he was going to take a little bit extra for that to happen. There's no persecution from Christ to him. So it's not like if you don't see him and you don't believe him, or if you don't see him and believe him, I guess what I'm trying to say is that Thomas wasn't put down because he didn't see him and believe him. So it's just a matter of fact story right here. And that's the first two encounters, and those took place, like I said, the first day of the week, and then the next one was 8 days later. So right now we know that Christ was on and was seen for 40 days after his resurrection. So on the 40th day is when he actually ascends. So that's where we're getting some of these. And you'll get the time frames through like the Matthew, Mark, and Luke chapters of them. So I think what we're going to do is let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up on the last time that Jesus encounters his disciples before he does his ascension. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Small Town, your hometown podcast. And I want to appreciate everybody who listens to the one ad and helps support this channel. So keeps it allows me to keep putting out these podcasts. So what we're doing is going over the three visits from Christ to his disciples after the Resurrection Sunday. And what we're talking about is reading just from the scripture and kind of getting an idea of what was going on. Now, once again, we got to remember that the Jews are hunting the disciples down because of everything that happened because of Christ. Now we know that the Jews knew something was up, or at least most of them did, because of the actions or some of the things that happened before that. And so we've already talked about the first two encounters in which Christ just shows up in this room that's been locked. They're hiding from the Jews, and he just appears to his disciples. And the first time he didn't, when he appeared, Thomas wasn't with them, but Christ talks to him. And then the second time Thomas is with him, and he does it again, comes into a locked room and just comes in. It's not like he walked through the door or he opened up a door or anything. Like, he just appears there in the center. And then Thomas is able to believe. So what we're going to do is talk about the last time before the ascension. So before Christ ascends and we get a narrative there, we're going to go over that next week. So we're in John chapter 21 now, and it is verse 1 through 25. And I'm not going to go through the entire thing. I'll mark it on the podcast description so you can see it if you want to go through some of that. But basically what's happening is the disciples are now, which were before fishermen. Most of them were fishermen or some sort of laborer. So they were fishing and not catching anything. So they're out trying to just get some food, trying to make a living, and they're not having much success. And the moral of this story is that, once again, you know, now granted, I'm going to give it to them that they were far enough out probably to where they couldn't necessarily see who was yelling at them. Now, we do know that they do know that Christ had appeared to them twice. And so my guess is that they were still kind of looking out for him. But I, you know, it's like a lot of times when you're far away and you see someone wave or someone say something, you don't always recognize people, especially if I don't have my glasses on or anything like that. So I can see where they may not have recognized Christ when he calls out. So it says here, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you not have any fish to eat, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find the fish." So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. And basically that's where they meet up, and Jesus had also started a fire so that they could cook some of the fish and eat. So it's interesting that they, you know, with what he's saying is, "Do you not have any fish to eat, do you?" And then they answered him, "No," yet they didn't realize that it was Christ when he said that. And then when they cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find the fish. And so they cast it. So it's interesting that they cast, just because somebody on the beach said to cast it on the other side. Now, my guess is that because Simon Peter had been stripped, it was hot, they were probably tired, they hadn't caught anything, so they probably were thinking to themselves, you know, it can't hurt to just toss it on the other side. And that's probably what happened. You know, if I'm sitting and I'm fishing, some guy or someone who looks like they may live from the area say, "Hey, try it on the other side," a lot of times I'm going to try it. And so, once again, there's nothing really odd about this situation. It's not like he said, you know, "Peace be to you," like he did before. So there's no triggering phrase that would have been like, "Oh, that's Jesus." So I think, once again, from the distance and what's going on about it, they wouldn't have really necessarily realized that it was Christ. So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. And that's when they realized this had to have been something else, because it just casting on the other side of the boat really shouldn't have made too much of a difference. At least not enough that you couldn't haul in the amount of fish that you were trying to get. I think also what's really nice about this is it shows what Jesus is setting up as far as, you know, fishers of men. And that's basically what his whole basis was that you're fishing men to Christ. You're casting your net, you're casting out and trying to bring them into the herd with Christ. You know, sheep as well. He used a lot of herding or simple ideas to try to convey complex ideas, mainly because of who he was dealing with too. Not all of them were completely educated into it, and so therefore he needed to use simplified examples. And I think sometimes, like we do with children, we do simple stories to try to get a complex idea. And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, it is the Lord. And then that's when they realized that it was the Lord. And then they jumped into the sea. Now, like I said before, the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke also describe these encounters. They either describe one of the encounters or the other encounter. But the only reason I chose John most of the time was because that's where all of the encounters are summed together. And a lot of times we have to look at what the New Testament books are, too. They're accounts. They're not necessarily stories. They're people's accounts, writing down what they saw and trying to be as accurate as possible. So it's very important that you realize that Matthew didn't mark some of these down because Matthew didn't see all of them. And so why would he want to mark down something he didn't see, just a document? Because that would also give false contents or false narrative. He'd be doing second or third hand writing, and that's what they were trying not to have. They wanted first hand account written documentation because that's what they were doing. They were like the newspaper writers of the day. If they didn't experience it or they didn't have first hand knowledge, a lot of times they didn't write this. Now, in some of the cases, and like in Matthew and stuff, a lot of it was they were just talking about the prophecy of Christ and then how it brings it all together. But for the most part, the New Testament is a fact-based, this is how it went down. And that's why we see some stories talked about and some stories aren't in each of the books. They're not, you know, a carbon copy of each other. And I think And so that's the three encounters with the disciples. And then next week, I think what we're going to do is go over the ascension of Christ. So we'll go over what happened and maybe a little bit of that. It's an interesting read. It's also, you know, liberating. It's basically the last testament of what we have from Christ, and except for Revelation, which I won't really get into Revelation. I'm not a... I enjoy reading it, but I'm not very traversed in it, so I don't like to try to minister on it because I'm not that comfortable with trying to give my take on what Revelation is. But once again, if you have any questions or anything like that, you can email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. You can shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram if you want. If you want, let people know about the podcast. If you have friends or family, just go right ahead and let them know about it, that we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Anchor, we're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora even. So we're in all the major directories, so you can always find it, and we update, and we always come out on Mondays. But other than that, so next week we'll talk about the ascension of Christ. Until then, just have a really great week.